on this segment of Access Indy. I want to point out something to you. America loves its dogs. Well, all 83.3 million of them. But for some 5 million dogs that enter shelters each year, who will love them? Well, to help us with this question and the adoption process is Dale Ryan. She's the author of a new children's book called The Painted Pilgrim. Welcome to the show, Dale Ryan.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kim. It's cool to be here.
I am so glad you're joining us this morning. Now, I think it's a pretty cool thing to adopt a dog. I have done it. But why is it such a wonderful thing to do and to potentially save a life?
Well, I think you just answered your own question, Kim, because you're saving a life, and adoption of dogs is so important because in the end, they do something greater for us than what we do for them, actually.
Hmm.
At least that's been my experience of adopting dogs, and as well as not all my dogs have been adopted, but whenever I have a dog in my life, they seem to do so much more for me than I could have ever done for them.
Wow. Can you elaborate on that? What kind of feeling do your animals bring to you?
Well, they certainly lower my blood pressure, that's for sure. We'll just start with the when, and it's a known fact that dogs do lower your blood pressure.
Wow.
Yeah, they do. And cats are known to do this as well. Animals just have an effect on people that people don't. And I think it really comes down to this, is that because they're dogs, we're humans, in the human world, people with people, there's always an agenda. And with dogs, there isn't an agenda. It's just so natural. It's like one of the best relationships you could ever have. And there's a lot of people who go around talking about man's best friend, and I do truly believe that dogs are man's best friend.
I do, too.
Or in
I
our
really
case,
do.
Women's best friend.
I do, too, because, you know, no matter what the ups or downs are in a day, in a month, in a year, my dog is there, and it's an unconditional kind of love, and they reciprocate what's going on. It's like they know when you're feeling down and do something to try to bring you out of it, or they are just there to sympathize with you, and then you do whatever you can for them as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I often think if they had a voice. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, because back in 2012, I had written a book called "Sleeping with the Beast,"
mm-hmm.
and it did make the LA Times summer reads under the quirky. So it was really kind of cool.
Okay.
But then I thought if I could do my first book, which is more of it's about living with a pack of five dogs, but maintaining a certain lifestyle with five dogs, because a lot of people just think your life is just going to be absolutely chaos, blah, blah, blah. And I have shown that you can actually live with a pack of dogs, and life can be grander and greater than you can ever imagine. And so as I did Sleeping with the Beast, I decided, now it's time to write a children's story. And the reason I wrote this book was because I wanted kids to understand adoption, what it means to go to a kennel,
mm-hmm.
and actually find a dog that children would want, because thank God we still have kids who ask for a dog before a mobile phone.
Yeah.
I mean, and so anyway, it's really the story is about the view from the perspective from the dogs who are living in the shelter, what it's like to live in a shelter, and what they're hoping, will happen to them, that they will finally find a home. So it's pretty humorous, because I loved working more with the characters of the dogs. I mean, the voice of the dog was interesting to me, from Buddha the pit bull to Blossom the Jack Russell Terrier. And the story is really based about different breeds of dogs. And I kept this kennel specifically about certain breeds that have been given a really bad rap.
Yeah, such as pit bulls and some of those larger
hounds.
Well,
one of my main characters today, I've got friends who have pit bulls, and they are the coolest and smartest dogs. But actually, I had to do a lot of research because one of the things that I found, and I went back to, because I'm in England a lot, mm-hmm. and they are celebrating, you know, in the past year, the centennial of what they refer to as the Great War, World War One. Mm-hmm. And through my studies, I found that there were over 20,000 dogs who served both on the English and the German side. 20,000 dogs were...
soldiers.
Fighting. Yeah, they were mm-hmm. soldiers, and they were fighting the war. And the other part that's interesting is that certain breeds of dogs who have served their countries, have saved lives, are also then demonized in, you know, the public at large. It makes no sense. And sometimes I think people confuse aggression, and this is my own thoughts, is that aggression with intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if people, so anyway, getting back to it, so that it's really through the eyes of all these dogs of different breeds, and the most unusual breed is this dog that no one knows anything about him. He's a breed all of his own because he's pink.
Yes. Thus the headline, would you adopt a pink dog? Yes, and that's quirky because the pink dog is on the cover of your book, The Painted Pilgrim. So what's the significance
right.
of the name, the title?
Well, his name is Pellegrino, and Pellegrino in Italian means traveler from afar. And he traveled from some distance, some place, you know, his DNA is unknown. I mean, he is truly a traveler from a distance place. He looks like a normal average dog, it's just that his fur happens to be pink. and therefore... you know, would you adopt a pink dog? And then, of course, kids love mystery, so I threw a mystery in the book because there are some not-so-nice people who want to adopt this dog because all they can think about are the big bucks behind having an unusual dog.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, he makes friends with, and he's got his two sidekicks, which are Buddha and Blossom, and it's just a fun book to do. But I really wanted kids to understand the adoption process.
And why why was that message to tell the children so important for you?
Because I think education is the key to everything.
Okay.
It's the bottom line. I think once kids understand the importance and the significance behind adoption, once they understand that all of us are very different in this world, and that's what makes us an interesting world. And I think the more they understand this, the more open they will be to the world. And what's the best way, Kim, to do this? It's through talking about it through the eyes of a dog, because if they are man's best friend, that was my thought process.
I understand. I'm looking here in the book, and as much as Pellegrino yearned for a happy, loving home, he had grown accustomed to living in the shelter. I spoke with some folks here in Indianapolis at Animal Care and Control, and they told us that the Animal Care and Control improved its key success measures for this past year, achieving its highest save rate and lowest intake rate of the past 10 years. And for the audience who may not know what a save rate is, that's the overall percentage of animals that are able to be returned to their owner, adopted or pulled from them by like one of the rescue groups after arriving at the shelter. Back in 2013, it was 64%. Last year, it grew to 73%. So they're doing a very good job of getting animals out in right here in our community. But we know that's not the case all around the country when 3.5 million animals don't make it out of the shelter.
No, it's really creepy. I mean, I think it's something like some of my research has shown that 2.7 million cats and dogs, 11 are euthanized. I mean, this is just, you know, 5 million dogs go into a and 5 million dogs go into a shelter, but it's really creepy to think that so many dogs and cats are being euthanized. And then as you and I discussed earlier, you know, one of the things that's really important is to have dogs neutered is the first mm-hmm. thing, and neutered,
yeah.
and because it makes a huge, huge difference. And keeping the numbers so we don't have so many unwanted dogs. It's just, it's almost like common sense.
Yeah.
And the other problem that we have found is that, because your statistics of happening, what's going on in Indianapolis is really wonderful. I have to say, congratulations, Indianapolis. This is really cool. And here in the Northeast, we're doing whatever we can do. Now, we're bringing up a lot of dogs from the South as well,
mm-hmm.
because so many more dogs are being euthanized in the South. And they really need, and so...
Why is that?
I just think in the end, it's going to come down to education is the only way that I can... It's like, I think if you can educate young children to understand that all creatures need comfort,
mm-hmm.
and that everyone has a place in this world. And if we can get rid of bad stigmas about certain dogs, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's hard to believe that. This is a great one that I thought. I was thinking about 100 years ago in Edwardian society in England, for example. As soon as World War One took place, all of a sudden women were doing jobs other than the ones that they knew, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
then
one of the things that they found was that pit bulls, for example, became the nannies for a lot of kids. And they found that the pit bulls in some ways were much more vigilant in taking care of children.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible piece of knowledge to learn. The idea that Dobermans could travel greater miles and be quieter and softer. And a lot of these poor dogs got killed, but think of all the lives that they saved. Because
yeah.
they could go on reconnaissance that no one else could do. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's all going to be about change, you know, people looking at adoption differently, people looking at that everyone has a place somewhere, and mm-hmm. we just have to work at it. And I've decided that my advocacy is through, you know, helping dogs.
Okay.
I mean, that's the other thing is that I think we all need advocates. There's not one of us in this world who does not need an advocate.
I understand. Now let's talk about, you know, a family choosing a dog or doing its homework before they go to the shelter. How do they go about doing that homework?
Kim, that's a great question. I think there's two ways of looking at it. One could be a pragmatist, and then there's other people that just walk into a shelter and go, oh, I like that dog. That's the dog that I want.
Oh, yeah, they're so cute.
Really, yeah, they're so cute, right. Mm-hmm. But I think really it requires a family discussion. I mean, think about it. Just the word adoption means there has to be some sort of communication with one's family. And so it's a great discussion around the round table at home to have with one's family about what kind of dog do we want. And the other thing I also want to mention, there are so many, I mean, a lot of people have visions of just getting puppies. But there's nothing wrong with adopting an older dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really don't have the time and to...
Potty train.
All these kinds of things, think of older dogs who've already gone through that process and who have just been sitting there and waiting for a home. And I'm talking about the non-kill shelters, because a lot of non-kill shelters, they refuse to put down dogs, and those dogs are there for life, but they're still yearning for a home.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends upon the person, the family, you know, where they live. For example, a lot of dogs have been misplaced because they've had to move. As we know, in America, people are moving all the time. And
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of misconceptions about shelters. They always think, oh, that's where the dogs go that are completely unwanted. This is not true.
No.
This is based on people who have actually physically had to make a move, and so they have, you know, their only recourse is hoping that someone else will take their dog.
And the shelters had to take in a lot more animals with the crash of the economy because people were moving more because they were losing their housing. And
absolutely.
With natural disasters. Look what
exactly.
happened to a lot of the animals in Hurricane Katrina and some of the other natural disasters we've had.
Exactly. Actually, you know, I talked about that when I wrote Sleeping with the Beast. I talked about, dogs. That was coming from a different perspective. Yes, of how many. And one story that really just took me to a whole different place was the story of a woman who had a really, really great job in Silicon Valley. She had, really hot. And then something went completely wrong, and she had to live in her car for a couple of years. She refused to give up her dogs and took her dogs with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so cool because she would talk about the fact, the mere fact that how the comfort that her dogs gave her. A, she refused to give them up, and B, the comfort. And you know, talk about blood pressure. Imagine your blood pressure going up if you know if you lost your home and you lost your job. It's really important to think about the kind of dog that you want to bring into your home, and to go to the shelters and to check them out. And I think this other wonderful thing really occurs. Even as I said, you can have this discussion with your family, but there, you know, sometimes you just walk into a shelter and you see a dog and you go, "Oh my God, I'm in love." You're just smitten. It's just done.
You have to examine your lifestyle, and then you have to make a connection. Because if you're not an active person, don't get a dog that requires tons of activity.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people forget that. And that's the other thing I want. Thank you. That's the other thing I forgot to say. Many times around Christmas time, people, you know, little kids want the dogs. They want puppies.
Yes, I have that as a question, actually. You know, are there times of year when you really don't want to choose an animal?
Well, no, what I'm getting at is a really sad. It's great that these kids want. And it's, like I said, I'm so glad there are children in this world who go, "Oh, I want a dog," before they ask their parents for their first phone or their first whatever, you know, something that's technological.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is a lot of dogs wind up right after the new year in a shelter.
Yes.
Because the family hadn't really thought through the process. This is not, you know, this is a different kind of gift.
They went for a Kodak moment with a red bow, and now the thrill is gone, and they have no clue.
Exactly, and it really aggravates me from the perspective that this isn't like giving someone, you know, a fancy car or a bicycle or whatever. I mean, this is a living creature, and then I can't imagine really imagine how the kids feel about their parents taking their dog away and putting them in the shelter. But more importantly, it's a discussion about responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're all responsible in this world for one another, and especially in a family, that the dog is going to be a family member. And the other thing that I don't do, Kim, I never referred to dogs, and it took me a while to do it, because I educate myself as I go along, mm-hmm. is that I never refer to dogs as pets. I always think of them as companions and family members.
Okay.
And I think it really, really helps. It humanizes the situation so much more.
It's another level of respect. Now,
absolutely. Thank you.
When you are trying to go through this process and you're dealing with the shelters, what are the shelters kind of looking for when they're looking for suitable homes for their dogs?
Well, I think it depends upon the shelter. I mean, if a shelter is really in crisis with a lot of dogs and they know they're, you know, it all depends. I think it's really up to the director and the people who work in the shelters, you know, where the dogs go to. And I think if that is, they're really smart people who, at least the shelters I have dealt with, who deal with dogs in placement of homes. And so you have to kind of leave it to, you know, the help from the guidance of those who work in the shelter to give you a good idea about, you know, what this dog is all about and their experience with the dog being there. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I make this like, you know, like the best example you could ever have for a dog shelter.
Ah.
In other words, the woman is really, her name is Zuki. She's the director, and she's super vigilant with all of her wards. And she, you know, she's not so sure about a couple people who want to adopt Pellegrino. I mean, she's not sure who they are, and she checks on them. Whereas with other people, they know immediately that there's a connection between the dog and the people that want to adopt them, which is really cool.
Mm.
Oh, as far as shelters are concerned, I think those who work in shelters can be really helpful in helping people, you know, pick out the dog, the companion for them.
I want to give out some information for the people here in Indianapolis. So if they're thinking about going through the process, they know who to connect with. That's the Indianapolis Animal Care and Control. They're located at 2600 South Harding Street. The Humane Society of Indianapolis, they're on the north side. They're at 7929 North Michigan Road. If you already have a pet and you need to have those spay and neuter services done or low cost veterinary clinics for your shots, etc., FACE is located in the downtown area. They're at 1505 Massachusetts Avenue, and all of those places are there to help you through the process and can give you some wonderful information. And for your children, pick up the new book, The Painted Pilgrim by Dale Ryan, because you know what? We know you may adopt a pink dog. We think you do it. You do it. You'd find some love in your house and in your home and in your heart. Isn't that right, Dale?
Yes, absolutely, Kim. I couldn't say it better.
Where can folks get the book?
Oh, you can ask your local bookstore to get it for you, or you can just go through Amazon. The great thing about, I think, with Amazon as well, I mean, it's always important to go to your local bookstore. But, you know, if you need to, and it makes life not as, you know, it's less expensive to go through Amazon, so you can find it that way as well.
Thank you so much for sharing the story of Pellegrino with us and your book, The Painted Pilgrim.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. And thank you for telling me about the great numbers of, you know, what's going on in Indianapolis, getting your dogs adopted there. That's so fabulous.
And there's still
congratulations.
Lots. Thank you. And there's still lots of work to do that I'm quite sure the Care and Control would say to come on by and adopt another animal, because they have, you know, plenty that are there waiting for loving homes.
Absolutely.
Dale Ryan is a dog-loving photographer and a writer. Her new book is The Painted Pilgrim. Check her out. I'm Kim Wells. This is Access Indy here on 106.7 WTLC.